Last couple of weeks, we've been looking at some questions that people gave last month into what was your big question. If you had a big question that you could ask God, then what would that be? And we've been doing that just over these last few weeks. Next week, family service, and then into September, we'll be launching into a new series on the DNA of world changers. So that's going to be into September. So some people's questions haven't been asked. The good news is that when we launch back on Sunday nights with our program, which is starting on the 7th of September, that one of the Sunday nights a month, the third Sunday night of the month, is going to be... Oh, thanks very much. I've just got a gift of an iPhone. There's a timer that's on there. I've not started speaking yet. There's a big clock at the back as well, you. One of the things that we want to do is also within our Sunday night program is have big questions. So if your question hasn't been answered, or if you've got a big question that you would like to think about, and big questions, big answers, because we've got a big God who can take it. So I'm already used 1 minute and 10 seconds of my time. So the question that we've got, I'm just going to speak faster. The question that we've got today is, does the New Testament support church ministry conferences as opposed to, say, a focus on outreach and mission? I'd like to take you to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. It's quite a well-known and quite famous verses. It's called, or part of what's called, the Great Commission. But Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20 says this. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." This is the disciples, and this is the resurrected Jesus, just before he'd been taken into heaven. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I'd like to pick up on a couple of words that's there. The word "go" and also the word "make." The word "make." Okay, so there's two things that are commissioned by Jesus there, that we are to go, which means not staying where we're at. Now, for some of us, that might be physically moving, like Justin, who's moved thousands of miles from Minnesota all the way over here to Edinburgh. For some, it might mean moving in terms of jobs, an environment that they find themselves in, a new environment as they're being led on by Father God into this faith journey. For all of us, it will involve us moving and going spiritually. It will involve us practically going to people who haven't yet met or been introduced to the Lord Jesus Christ, who haven't experienced how good he is, and for give you an opportunity to share who he is and what he means to you. So we're to go, but we're also to make disciples. Now, that's not like putting all the ingredients together, putting them in the oven, and then bang, out they come. There's a disciple ready made. It's about living and doing life with people, sharing God with people, and allowing them to see what God does in your life, and then allowing God to grow in their life, and their faith to grow in their life. So that Bible verse says a number of things. It's all nations. What does all nations mean? Everybody, anybody. What does it involve for this great commission that we've got? There needs to be declarations of, according to this, repentance and faith in the belief in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There needs to be an ongoing unpacking and development of the teaching of Jesus. But the good news is there's a guarantee of the presence. I will be with you always, even to the very end of the age. So it doesn't matter where you're going, doesn't matter what you're going to be facing and who you're going to be meeting along the journey as you go to make disciples, the guarantee is of the presence of God with you. That's good. That's good news. That's an opportunity for an amen, church. You know, that should give us a little bit of confidence that wherever God leads us, wherever he's saying, whatever he's talking to us about, of where he wants to take us to or lead us on to be able to say, God is with me, is good news. Now, in Bible times, we're thinking about this question of the New Testament church supporting ministry conferences as opposed to, say, focusing outreach and mission. Part of the problem is that we've got a different understanding of what we mean by discipleship, what we mean by making disciples and ministry conferences, to what it is, for it was in the Bible times, to what it actually is now. See, in Bible times, the teaching model and the way of learning was different. It was much more hands-on. There was much more a sense of doing life in this teacher-disciple relationship or rabbi-disciple relationship. And it was modeled by Jesus and his disciples that were around about. You know the story, he called them from different people, different backgrounds, different experiences in life, and he called them to be with him. And they basically, you know, fishermen left their nets, tax collector left his tax booth, and, you know, all those kind of things, that just went and they followed Jesus. They left their behind. They left their life behind, and they went and they followed Jesus. And they lived with Jesus. They ate with Jesus. They watched Jesus. At times, Jesus said, okay, guys, out you go and do it on your own, you know, in terms of praying for the sick and casting out demons and pronouncing and bringing the kingdom of God into people and into situations. But there was a much more hands-on approach. Today, we think of training as being education. And we think of it as being coming and sitting and listening and taking on board. The problem is that today we've made education theory rather than practice. Now, I know that in school settings, with curriculum for excellence and things like that, there's much more of a hands-on approach that's coming back in, much more of not just theory, but also practice that's being put into place. But Bible didn't separate experience and education. The two were the same, and they were done and achieved through life. Often when we do experience in church, the consumerism that we bring from the world often just means, oh, this is only for me. I received for my situation. When actually, you know, the words of the song that we sang today had the word overflow in it. That we would overflow, that the presence of God in our lives would overflow, almost spill out into the life of other people. And would spill out into other situations. See, we've made education, we've made conferences all about us, where actually, you know, there's no separation in Scripture between training and then releasing and going out and doing the stuff, if you like. The Victorian Baptist preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon said that Christianity is like one beggar telling another beggar where to get bread. And the more that we look on our training experiences, receiving food from heaven into our lives that would sustain us, that would help us, that would equip us in life, it's not just so that we can sit back spiritually fat and happy, which is possible. You know, isn't that a good worship service? And we do have great worship services. Then a wee shiver up and down my spine. Didn't my hands get raised? And didn't we say something in tongues at the right time? Or amen, praise the Lord, when the pastor prompted us? Okay. You know, and didn't I feel good? Didn't my felt needs get met? But you know, it's not actually about us. Even our worship services isn't about us, because our worship service is about giving glory to Him. And what happens in our life is that we then receive a divine download from heaven that equips us for what we're going to face in our life, and equips us for the people and the circumstances and the situations that we're going to meet in the next while and season of our life. So what do we mean by a ministry conference? Well, we need to break down the word ministry, I think. Ministry comes from the Greek word diakono, which means to serve. And the root of that word has got to kick up dust. But the idea and the notion being that the slaves were running about so hard and so fast after the master, tending to the needs, that they would be kicking up dust as they're going about tidying up and cleaning up and doing everything that needs to happen. So you're for a deacon in here. You're supposed to kick up some dust. But we're all called to minister. We're all called to be involved in ministry of the body of Christ. So there's a need for us to almost be kicking up dust through our activity and through what we're doing to serve the Lord and to serve one another, to serve the needs of our congregation, our fellowship, and our community in this way. And I think that when we've offered out this place in Fringe, it's one of the things that we've done is that we've served our community. We've served our community. We've sown something into our community. We've opened up the church to, you know, 1,400 people. Now, some of them will have faith. Some of them will have been inside a church before. Some of them won't. Some of them will have heard of Edinburgh Elam Church. A lot of them didn't. Some of them will have been inside this church before. Hundreds of them hadn't. And all of them left, certainly that we're aware of, a very positive experience. We haven't had one bad negative report, review, or anything concerning that. So we've served our community. The 60 or so people who were involved have been ministers, servants, diakonos in that environment that's there. So to sum up then, we'd be saying that a ministry conference is then, it has to be an opportunity for consecrated and concentrated period of teaching that will address specific issues and themes that will enhance our understanding and experience in matters of life and faith, which will then equip us better to model Christianity in an irresistible manner to those who haven't yet been introduced to him. Now, I know that's a whole lot of words that's in one sentence. Even as I was writing it down, I was like, oh man, if my mother, who's a school teacher, had been looking at this, she'd be saying there should be a comma there, should be a full stop there, and, you know, and all those kind of things. Because we do ministry conferences here from time to time. Why? Because it's a great opportunity to gather together, to deal with something that's specific, a topic, where in the space of a Friday night and an all-day Saturday, then a Sunday morning, that you could probably squeeze the equivalent of, well, 3 months' worth of teaching. If you take a sermon as being 40 minutes, not today, 8 minutes, 20 left, 40 minutes, and in the period of your weekend, you can squeeze almost 3 months' worth of concentrated, consecrated teaching into it. But it has to be for a purpose. It has to be to help us, train us up, to release us, to live for Jesus, and to present the Jesus that we know and that we love in an irresistible manner to the person that you're going to bump into on Monday morning that's had a stinker of a weekend. You see, we have to take the glory from here. And it's in our lives, and we have to pass it on to somebody that hasn't yet tasted and experienced. And yet we all know that the words that hurt people, but whole people, heal people. Because you could be thinking, oh, Gordon's not into conferences or anything like that. You know, if all we do is say, right, you've got a relationship with Jesus, out you go. Go and be involved in evangelism. Go and be involved in outreach. Yeah, it's a great way to cut your teeth, but you will make many mistakes that could damage you, that could damage other people. From something as simple as when I was growing up, we had a friend of mine, who first time that he went out in the streets, you know, he had invitations to go to church, but he had them inside his jacket pocket. And he went up to Greenock Town Centre outside of what was then John Menzies, I think it's a travel agent's now, and he went up in Greenock Town Centre and he went to this group of youths and said, I've got something for you, and went to put his hand inside his jacket pocket. They thought that he had a knife, and he, all of a sudden he ended up against the glass plate of John Menzies' window. So practically, it can help you get some practical advice, but also spiritually, you could damage yourself or damage other people if you're not careful and if you're not trained and equipped up. So therefore, we want to say that training and a transformed life and a true testimony are crucial to the authenticity of the message that you bring and the person that you carry in terms of Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says this: Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. It's talking about a seasoned journeyman, a professional, somebody who's got their trade, if you like, approved and ready, is the way that Paul speaks to Timothy about how we should be in handling the word of God. We should be like a master craftsman when it comes to the word of God. So therefore, we need some training, don't we? We need to be equipped in that in order to pass that on to other people. Across in another chapter, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 17, remember 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, talks about all scripture being God-breathed and useful for, and it lists all those things that there. But it goes on in 2 Timothy 3 and 17, it says, so that the man and woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God wants you equipped. He doesn't just send you out and, you know, look, you know, he didn't just send you out and say, okay, go on with it. He wants to equip you and help you to to make it in this thing called life and to make you and have you fulfilled through being able to share your faith. The writer to Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 21, speaking of Jesus, says that Jesus will equip you with every good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. To sum up, he has to work in us before he can work through us. So we need to allow God to work in us in order to work through us. But he wants to equip you with every good. Now, what does every good mean? Every good. What? To do what? To do your will? To do the will of folks you bump into? No, to do his will. And to work in us what is pleasing to him. So our number one goal should be, what brings a smile to the face of Jesus? You know, if we made that our prayer when we got up out of bed in the morning, Lord, today I want to bring a smile to your face. The orientation of our day would be different. Our priorities would be different. And the way that we look at life would be different. But time is creaking on. God wants to equip us, and he equips us through ministry gifts. And we read about them, and you can read about them after, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in Romans chapter 12, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Speaks about gifts, speaks about giftings, speaks about in Ephesians 4 and in verse 11 about the fivefold ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and their role in the church, life gifts in the church, to be leaders and to train and to release people into their destiny, to equip the church for every good work that the scripture says. So what are we saying? The responsibility then is on you and on me. You know, I see, you know, ministry conferences or perhaps broader training and going out and sharing what Jesus does as being two sides of the same coin. One heads, one tails. But both vital for it, because we need to be trained and we need to be out there and we need to be doing it. See, the responsibility is in us. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1 says, knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And was the problem that Jesus had with the Pharisees, or the Pharisees had with Jesus, was that they looked good on the outside. They talked a good game, but they didn't actually live the love of Jesus. In James chapter 2, verses 14 through to verse 26, the passage, it talks about the relationship between faith and works and faith. And the two need to be happening hand in hand and working together. You need to have faith, but you need to be in action at the same time. If we want to be effective, then church, we need training. But that training has to be purposed to make us effective in reaching people with the good news of Jesus. So does the New Testament church support ministry conferences? Actually, no, because it's not in the grid of Scripture then. But does it involve training? Yes, it does. Why? So that we would be effective in the outreach, in the mission, in fulfilling the Great Commission. Jeff, you can have that back. There's 1 minute, 42 seconds still on it. Will we pray, church? And then we'll maybe have a closing song and worship and get ourselves out and down so that we can be salt and light and have a burger and ice cream.